The first one I'd like to mention is Vacation Bible School. We're going to be doing Vacation Bible School here at the church July 22nd through the 24th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that's going to be after summer school. So it'll be at like 4 o'clock to 6:30. So we're going to need all hands on deck. And so there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. If you are excited about this kind of an opportunity and you want to help in big ways or even in small ways, please sign up. We're going to have a meeting real, real soon. And love to... These kind of things just take a lot of people to do, okay? And the whole purpose of it, which is why I want there to be like all of us doing it. We get to teach kids about Jesus. If the church doesn't exist for stuff like that, then what's the church around for? Come on, somebody else say that. Say it. Come on, there we go. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Vacation Bible School, don't forget to sign up today. I would rather you sign up than give an offering today. I'm serious. Sometimes, here's the problem. Sometimes we just throw money and say, God, somebody else will do it. And today I think God is saying, it's your time. You can do it. It's been a long time since you did Vacation Bible School, maybe. And it's fun. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be work. We might sweat a little bit. We might get uncomfortable. We might be stretched. But I want to teach kids about Jesus. Don't you? Hallelujah. It's going to be great. I'm excited. A couple other announcements. The next one here is we're going to celebrate the life of Connie Antweiler. Charles, where did he go? Okay. We're going to celebrate the life of Connie Antweiler, and we're going to do that here at the church on Saturday, July 11th. That's just a few weeks away, and so the family wants to know that you're invited, your church family, and Charles and Connie both are wonderful, rock solid people in this church, and we're thankful for them, and we're going to celebrate her life. With COVID going on, we had to push this back, okay? And so that is going to be, visitation is going to be here at 10 a.m., and the service will be at 11. And then similarly, we're going to celebrate the life of Lenora Clark on Saturday, July the 18th at 11 a.m., and that is going to be at Mount Pleasant Cemetery. So I want you all to know that so you can plan to attend if you are able to do that. Okay, going to celebrate Lenora's life. You know, one of the things I loved about Lenora, she was fiery, and I liked that about her. Okay, she wasn't just passive, and I liked it. Okay, we're going to jump into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anybody know what that chapter is called? Yes. So we're going to be talking about love. Yeah. And so, you know, Sherry, I appreciated that song because what you said. God has adopted us as sons and daughters. And that really, that's just one way, because in reality, he created us anyway. But he's adopted us into his family by way of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're his to begin with. Something got in the way. It's called sin. Jesus came to remedy that. He came to fix that. He came to repair a damaged relationship. And then God adopted us through Jesus, his son. He bought us back, if you will. What an incredible picture. And so we're adopted. The scripture also says that by the Spirit of God, those who have faith in Christ, we cry out to God the Father and we say, Abba. In other words, that's like saying daddy to God. you're our daddy here on Father's Day. And I understand, well, I kind of understand. I understand that there might be some who did not have great relationships with their dads. But I tell you, regardless of how that relationship was, you can have a wonderful and terrific relationship with your Heavenly Father because He loves you. And we're going to look at God's love here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is going to be a challenge. I'm challenged every time I read this scripture, okay? And even cut to the heart, especially as a dad to my three awesome kids. Love them to pieces. And so we're going to look at this. So really, this is how God loves us. And then in return, it's how we ought to love those closest to us or furthest from us, right? We're supposed to love each other in this kind of way we're going to look into. And others we meet wherever we are, we're supposed to love them. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to take a swig of water real quick. Excuse me. Paul writes, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels," we're Pentecostal. We encourage people to pray in tongues. We encourage people to pray in other languages, language that God gives you. We encourage that. And here Paul is saying, man, if I could speak all of them, all of the languages of earth, I wonder how many languages there are, probably a couple thousand. Because even in different regions, there's different, they broke up in different languages. And then languages of earth and of angels. I don't know how many languages there are of angels, but that's interesting that it's there, huh? If I could speak all of these languages, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Just be making some noise. Bang, 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 clang, clang, clang. All we'd be doing is making noise if we didn't love. Why is that? I think it's really simple because, as the saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? If they know that you love them, that's why rules without relationship leads to rebellion. It's why you have to have a relationship with somebody before you can be effective in correcting wrong behaviors. You got to know that they have to know that they're loved by you. Paul says it doesn't matter if you can speak all these languages, but if you don't love, you're just rattling on and on and on. And it doesn't do anything because it doesn't penetrate the heart because it's not motivated by love. Are you and I motivated by love today? Ladies, you're included in this, but dads, and I'm scanning the room. I'm not seeing any dads with kids of in the house still. Maybe just a few, okay. It's a privilege. But you know what? It doesn't ever stop. We don't stop loving our kids, do we? Mine are still in the house, so I don't really know how that goes. We don't just love. We don't just talk and rattle on and on. We've got to show love as well. But if I didn't love others, we'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let us be motivated by love. Second verse. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge. He's really racking it up here, isn't he? if I had the gift of prophecy and I prophesied often, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could literally move a mountain. Are you with me so far? If I had all these spiritual giftings, I'm going to stop there. Do you understand that God uses people in his spiritual giftings even though we're not perfect? Okay, just making sure everybody understands that. So when God uses somebody in one of our services, be very careful that you're not sitting back there saying, well, I don't receive that because I know such and such about them. You've just closed off the blessing of God. I'm not saying forever, but you just closed it off right then because you're doing one of these. No, I'm not receiving it from them. Here's the way I look at it. God can use whoever he wants to use. It's not up to me. And let me remind you, it's not up to you, except for you. You can sure stop it. That was free. That was free. Wasn't planning on going there. Let's see. If I had all these different spiritual giftings in my life, if I could even move a mountain by the gift of faith, but didn't love others. Look at what he says. What, read it to me. What does it say there? That last little, I would be nothing. So in other words, it's not about the giftings, is it, that make us up, that make us who we are. God uses us in giftings to be a blessing to someone else. But really, the most important thing is love. If I had all these other things, but I didn't have love, if I wasn't motivated by love, because let's face it, we can be motivated by a lot of other things. Well, I want to look good in front of everybody. That's my motivation. That wouldn't be right, would it? God, I want you to use me in a spiritual gift so that others see that I'm somebody special. Or would it be the right motivation to say, God, would you encourage people today? Would you touch their hearts? And if you want to use me, and you can use me to bring healing or whatever God needs to give to somebody. What if that was our motivation, motivated out of love instead of, but God, I'll look real good when you do that. Do you understand the difference there? And how we have to guard our hearts? And I would probably say that pastors have to do that probably the most. I love being a pastor. I love being your pastor. Your $20 is coming. Your $20 bill. We plan that. Some of you are skeptical. But we need to be motivated by love. But if I didn't love, I'd be nothing. Paul says, I would be nothing. Verse 3, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about that. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You could support the church entirely by yourself. But if you didn't, if it wasn't being done out of love, that one too could be a selfish reason. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Pretty intense, isn't it? So dads, fathers, grandfathers, do you see how We're seeing how love needs to be an everyday part of it. A part of raising our children as an example. I hope, I want my kids to be able to see love in me. With that being said, they don't always get to see love. Or it looks different to them. Because a lot of times we think love is just a big old hug. And sometimes the big old hug comes after a spanking. You know? And that's kind of hard for kids to understand, isn't it? But a lot of times we discipline because we love. But this morning I want us to see that God loves us. God knows about your weaknesses. And he loves you anyway. Let me simply remind you that that is the case. How do we know that he loves you in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your frailty, in spite of your failures, in spite of your fears? How do we know that? He sent Jesus. God the Father sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to become sin for us, not because he expected us to be without sin, but because we were stooped in it and drowning in it. And Jesus came to forgive us and to wash that. Not that we should still live in sin. But God is aware of where you are in your journey. And he still loves you. He still loves you. Sometimes we get to that point, well, God, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, he does. He sure does. Better than you know what you've done. And he knows the motivation why you did it. And he knows whether it was selfish or whether it was, you know, sometimes we just do it. Or say it when we're angry or whatever it might be. God knows. But I'm throwing a carrot out there as well. Still, even with all that, God is saying, come on. Come on, son and daughter, we're going to continue to love. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to love and grow in that love. America needs more love right now. We need to love each other and not judge each other. Here's the thing. It's difficult when we don't understand the other side. It's just difficult to really understand. And so let's be a little less, let's jump to less conclusions with that. And that would go for both sides, wouldn't it? So, we are called to love. We're called to do that. And God loves us, and therefore we in turn love others. And Bob and Wanda, you guys are celebrating 60 years of marriage. My wife and I, right after Larry sang that song, Emily looked to me and she said, we only have like 42 more years to get to that. I said, and I promise you, I will get better and better. Doesn't mean I don't have weaknesses. Emily, don't amen that. But it means I'm working toward something. Are you working toward that? This scripture always hits me right between the eyes. And I would be a liar to tell you that it didn't. But I'm working at growing in love. It's not always easy to love somebody that disagrees with us and doesn't see things the same way we do. But can I remind you, we're still called to love them. As I mentioned on Wednesday night, we're supposed to love them because every person who lives and breathes was created in the image of God, created by God. regardless of what they choose to do. Just like you and me. We're called to love them. We're called to love them. And that might mean sometime you might need to lend an ear to understand a little bit better. It might mean that you pray for them more. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Verse 4. Love is patient and kind. There's 5 words in that first sentence. And 3 of them are in another scripture. In Galatians chapter 5. Aren't they? Help me out. Tell me the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Starts out with love. Some of you are doing real good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And against such there is no law. In other words, when you live according to the Spirit, when you live like this, nobody can point a finger at you because they can see your motivation. You can't come and say, well, look what they did wrong. No, when you live by the Spirit and you're loving and you're patient, I'm working on that one, and you're kind and you're joyful, it got real quiet. And you're gentle, I'm working on that one too. Why are you laughing at me? Okay, we're in good company. Okay, awesome. Thank you. I remember what it was the other day. I was chuckling at something somebody said or did, and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm laughing with you. I'm not laughing at you. And to me, it's different. So thanks for laughing with me. Love is patient and kind. God's patient with us. He's kind to us, isn't he? Good gravy, he's given us all things in Christ. He's given us mercy. He's given us grace by which we've received salvation, by which we've received eternal life. Talk about kindness. He's patient with us. Back to those weaknesses, the failures in our life. I guess I'd like to speak to that again. The way I look at things, brother, we talked about this just a while ago. When I come into a challenge, I remind myself I'm a winner because I'm on Jesus' team. I'm on Jesus' side. So stop thinking that you're stuck in it and start thinking that Jesus can help you up and through it. Amen? You don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay there in the mud. But you also can't get yourself up. You got to call on Jesus, and he's going to take you through. Believe him for it. Believe him for it. Love is patient and kind. So if we've received this kind of love from the Father, we need to also be ready and willing to give this kind of love. Says patient, that means when we don't feel like somebody might deserve it. Remember, this is tough. It really is, isn't it? Remember when Peter came to Jesus and he said, he'd kind of had it with somebody. He said, Jesus, okay, man, this guy keeps bugging me. How many times am I supposed to forgive? Like 7? Jesus said, but let's go on. He said, 70 times 7. Peter went away like, awesome. But I bet you it stuck with him. Man, that is powerful, isn't it? Love is patient and it's kind. Love is not jealous. Sometimes we get jealous of what other people have. That's not acting in love. We get jealous of what, look at their house or look at their vehicle or look at their spiritual giftings. Look at what God uses them to do. Some of that could be okay right there on that line when we get too jealous. I think there's a good thing about, you know, like being other people challenging us the way that they follow God. That's a good thing. But if it's more of a jealousy, like, well, I want what they have, that could be a dangerous thing. And here the Word of God tells us, Paul writes, love is not jealous. Love is not just seeking what other people have so that you look as good as they do. Nor is love boastful. Boasting about it, boasting over, like I'm better than you are. Where's the place for that in the kingdom of God? Really, where is that in America? Where should that be in America? It shouldn't be. You've heard me say it before. Everybody has weaknesses, and everybody has strengths. Let's highlight their strengths. That's awesome. Way to go. We're proud of you. Everybody's got some. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Love is not selfish. I'm working on that one too. Love doesn't demand its own way. It's not selfish. It's not irritable. Dads, here's the standard. This is what we need to attain to. Grandfathers, let's lead our families in these ways. Sure, be used in the gifts of the Spirit, but let the motivation be love. Sure, give. He talked earlier about giving. I could give, but if I didn't have love, I would have gained nothing. Let us choose to love. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. That one can be tough, can't it? Well, no, I'm not going to help you this time. I helped you not that. Remember the last time? Ouch. According to the Word of God, love doesn't keep a record of those things and bring them back up and throw them back in their faces. Right? Lord forgives and forgets. He does forgive and chooses to forgive. Not that he can't remember, he chooses not to remember. Praise God. Talk about kindness. So maybe you can work at something this week. I'm going to think about how you can show kindness, which is going to be motivated by love, right? How can you show kindness this week? How can you show kindness? So love does not keep any record of wrongs. Verse 6, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. There have been some injustices in our country lately. And it isn't right. But let's rejoice in truth. And let's be motivated by love. It's what we're all called to. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to love. We're called to show that kind of love and demonstrate that kind of love in ways that someone else will recognize it. If not, then we're just making noise. We're just spinning our wheels. But if we're motivated by love and we do the things that God leads us to and calls us to, then we can change lives. He can change lives through us because they will see. Then we're really allowing him to be seen. Or is it just us that wants to be seen? Let's allow Jesus to be seen. What do you say? Verse 7. Love never gives up. Love is not a quitter. God's not a quitter. He hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on the hard case that you've been working on. Don't give up. Love wouldn't give up on them. Love wouldn't give up on them. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Again, our faith is in the Lord. We trust in Him. Love is always hopeful. Love always hopes. Love endures through every circumstance. Man, there's something about love, isn't there? Love can see through. Love can see through some of the yucky to see what's inside, what's really inside, and that the strengths in somebody. And dads, wouldn't it be awesome? Grandfathers, wouldn't it be awesome if God allows you to see the strength in those loved ones? And we could pull that out of them and help them to be someone great. Or let me rephrase that. Help them to be somebody who in return continues to love. Could be very, very powerful. How many songs are about love? Secular or Christian. Love is a very, very powerful thing. At the end of this chapter, he goes on to say, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. What else does it say? The greatest of these is love. It's love. And you know what? Sometimes that's shaking a hand, sometimes that hugging the neck. Now, I know we need to be careful how that goes down, but sometimes just lending an ear and listening to somebody and investing in them, spending a little bit of time with them. And so we're challenged, church. Men, women, boys, girls, moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, nanas, papas, whatever, meemaws, grandpas, we're called to love. We're called to lead by example. Jesus already did it. We're called to lead in love. And so let us make that decision today to do that. And I know many of you already have and made this kind of a commitment. But today, I just want to encourage you. Let's reconsider, let's reevaluate, and let's recommit to showing love and working at loving those around us, working at loving our family, working at loving any and all around us, whether they're like us or different from us, whether they like us or hate us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I'm challenged by it. And Lord, I suspect there are others in the room who are challenged by the word of God as I am. And I ask you, Father, that each and every one of us will commit to you or recommit that we are going to choose to love and be motivated by love instead of by other things. And so, God, I ask that you would help us. I ask that you would anoint us. I ask, God, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to help us to show love to others. God, I give you praise. Help us to be selfless. Help us to be patient, to be kind. Lord, so that we might reflect who you are. You are our example. Help us, Lord, live through us and help us to be an example to someone else and everyone else that we meet. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. I give you praise. Lord, you are worthy. And we ask that again that you help us to show your love to others by the way that we treat them. We honor you today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It is a joy to see you today. As we get ready to dismiss, don't forget about the VBS sign-up sheet. Don't forget if you wanted to, there's some of these out there in the foyer as well. If you wanted to take one of these and show somebody. And this one right here is to put some names of people that you're praying for, that you want to see them come to know Jesus, and you're going to work at inviting them. Feel free to take what you need back there. They're on the table by the restrooms.